Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. It's been a full 6 years since the Milwaukee band Paper Holland released its last full-length album. But the group never went away in that time. They played for a growing fan base, released an EP, and built anticipation for whenever the next album would come out.
Well, that time is at hand. Paper Holland plays a show this evening at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point to go along with the release of their brand new album, Galapagos, an album whose sound is perfectly matched with the onset of tropical weather in Wisconsin. We had a chance to chat with a couple of the band's key members ahead of that show, guitarist and singer Joe Tomchek and guitarist Andy Kosanke. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
And so you both have these headphones on right now,
which,
you know, a little bit of radio geeking out at the moment. But you are not that far removed from being in the studio putting together this latest album, which has to be there's a physical copy that is sitting with me. The physical copy is hitting the streets any moment now. But is this an exciting time?
Very. Yeah, definitely. We're super happy to have it out. And it's something that we've been working on for the past couple of years. So it's actually like kind of surreal to finally have like a physical copy of it, because it's this just kind of like nebulous thing for so long when you're working in the studio, and then it's finally done. So that does feel really good, and I'm just excited for people to hear it.
Yeah, definitely.
So it comes out today.
Comes out today.
All right. You heard it here first, literally.
Well, and so when you've been working on something for a few years and you have this physical thing in your hands, and presumably a virtual thing that people can download also.
Yes.
Is it also at some level a little nerve-wracking not knowing how people are going to react to it?
Yes and no. Yes, because you want people to like it, but no, because you have to not really care that much.
Or like, you just can't control it
too much.
Well,
you can't control it, so you can't obsess over it. Also, if you do let it kind of get into your brain, it starts to affect what you make, and then you're kind of like catering, and you're not doing what you know, is what you do. So
yeah, I think you really have to make it for yourself first. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it's great if people like it. And that is part of the goal. I'd be lying if I said...
Yeah, you want people to like it.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, I think if you start off just trying to make music for yourself and that you like and that you'd want to listen to, I think that's kind of just the best way to do it for everyone.
You sort of have to accept that your fans are your fans for a reason. They came to you already, and so I would assume you want to trust that they are going to stick with you.
Yeah, you hope so.
Yeah,
that's always the hope, that you don't alienate people, even when you're trying new things. We definitely spent more time crafting this one, so hopefully it's something that people like and don't feel like. You know, we've abandoned them with additional reverb and delay.
They lost me at the reverb.
They lost me in the ambience.
You know, so we were talking in the lobby of the radio station, actually, a little bit about reverb before before we came into the studio. You have this Julian Baker T-shirt on that you're wearing today,
every day.
Well, and if we were going to draw that Venn diagram of Paper Holland and Julian Baker, the overlap is in the pedals she uses. Is that right?
I saw a video from a company called Walrus Audio that they had her in their studio or their warehouse. I'm not sure where they film it. They had her in, and she was playing, I think, Sprained Ankle or one of the songs from her first album through their pedals, and I kind of was just really loved the sound of what she was getting, and I got turned onto that company, and now I own a bunch of their pedals, and they're just, you know, there's definitely some sonic overlap, even though I think being a full band, it's kind of hard to tell in parts, but yeah, there's definitely, we're using similar guitars, similar amps, similar effects. So. When you know that I would play again. I would play any game.
There are a lot of people who have made the comparison between you and some bands that go all the way back to the 80s and 90s, bands like The Cure. And, mm-hmm. I assume you don't set out to sound like someone else, but do you think there are bands that have kind of seeped into your consciousness that do shape what your sound is like?
I think definitely, yeah. Particularly the Beatles. I think for both of us, we've always been really influenced by them. Obviously they're just this legendary force, and we, yeah, I think we set out to
probably
kind
later
of,
Beatles. I'm thinking,
kind of all of
yeah,
it. My dad played guitar, and I was raised like not knowing who the Beatles were, but knowing these songs that my dad played, and then I would hear them on the radio and be like, this is one of Dad's songs. The Stones, The Doors, all these bands.
They ripped my dad off.
I hope he's getting royalties for this. A six-year-old making sure my dad's getting paid.
Just cracking open a PBR. Dad, do you know about this?
Yeah, so I've known the Beatles my whole life, and then, you know, not too long into my life that they're this, you know, amazing band that has a absurd discography of impressive music.
Yeah, and I think sort of the accessibility of their music and the singability, the catchiness, just like which I think is like a lot of what's at the core of pop music. I think that's a lot of what we set out to do. We don't necessarily limit ourselves to within a genre, and we don't even really like have a starting point from song to song that's you know always similar. So I think that kind of that pop structure is kind of the thread through our music. And I think a lot of that for me does kind of come from the Beatles. But yeah, we have six people in our band, and we have a lot of just like really eclectic influences between all those people. So it's really interesting to see how it all comes together.
It's hard to listen to this album and not think this really sounds summery in some way. What is it that, you know, what is it that makes an album sound warm in that way?
I think for this album in particular, like part of it is just the name kind of like cues you into this tropical vibe. Galapagos just sounds super tropical. And we also start off the record with like this like ambient beach noise. Like there's like waves and birds and stuff like that. So I think we definitely like set out to establish that vibe. Beyond that, I'm not really sure. It's kind of just like you kind of know like a summer jam when you hear it. And maybe part of that is just exactly that, like when you're hearing it, because maybe we put this song or we put this record out in winter and maybe it doesn't quite have those same vibes. But there is something to that. I think you're right.
Did you start with Galapagos in mind and everything kind of flowed from that, or did you have a handful of tracks and you thought this does have that summer vibe?
I think we had a couple. Seasick, I think, which is the second track on the record. So I think that was really the cornerstone to like what the record was going to be like, sort of thematically and sonically. Just like I really grabbed onto that vibe, like that kind of has that summery vibe. And in Wisconsin, we're always like looking for some way to escape the cold, and the winter is just so long. So I think if you can't actually like physically vacation, it's really nice to have things that kind of take you somewhere nice and warm for a little bit. So
you really could have released this in the winter.
We probably should have. That would have been a better market.
I wonder if we had released it in winter, if it had been getting, you know, like, it sounds very summery. I mean, there's definitely, like, that feel throughout the whole thing, but I wonder if it would have been...
Be sonic escapism.
Yeah. We're going to steal that.
Did not have the little trademark, the registered trademark.
You missed it. We've got it now.
So, are you both Milwaukee natives?
Yes.
Yep.
We were chatting about this before the interview began. We were talking about venues and really what's available both for people to go and see live music, but also for bands to play. And so let me ask you, what is your take on the live music scene in Milwaukee today versus where it was 10, 15, 20 years ago?
I think it's as good as it's ever been, if not better than it's ever been. I can't really speak to like maybe beyond 10, 15 years ago. But I think the Milwaukee music scene right now is as good as it's ever been. There are so many incredibly talented artists working right now, and a lot of them are working very collaboratively, and they're all just putting out like staggeringly good things constantly. And right now, like, it's hard to choose what show to even go to some nights. And like, you know, a random Friday night, like, sometimes you'll have to choose between two incredible shows, and it's hard. Like, so I think Milwaukee right now is just as good and collaborative as it's ever been.
Do you think, given, I mean, the music industry is a lot different than it was 20 years ago, say, or certainly 30 or 35 years ago, is being collaborative a necessity now where it might not have been way back when? I mean, is it do you feel like you're in competition, or is it really bands supporting other bands and venues supporting you? And
I think Milwaukee is just very supportive. Like, I really don't feel a competitive element in Milwaukee. I feel people like feeding off of each other. And I think like social media has a lot to do with it, because I think that that is kind of the force that ties it all together. Like, that's what is making the music scene in Milwaukee feel more collaborative and connected than ever. And I think a lot of the artists within Milwaukee utilize that extremely well. So I think that's part of it too, is kind of just the growth of social media and bands getting more savvy with it.
Yeah, definitely seeing, you know, bands releasing music that is really good just continues to raise the bar. And it's not competitive. It's driving. It makes you want to be better. It makes you want your record to sound better, your lyrics to have more meaning. You know, it increases everything. You are competing, but it's not to defeat someone.
So we've talked about a couple of the tracks on this album. I guess this is a great time to have either or both of you direct our attention to other moments on the new album that you wouldn't want to pass by people as they sit down and listen.
Well, we took some time crafting some longer intros and outros and bridging tracks and songs. So I guess sticking around for the whole song in general is something that I'd encourage people to do. I mean, it is very much like everyone has a shorter attention span now, and I think we're sort of challenging that. We feel like we've crafted something that's worthy of paying attention to.
Right. I said sit down and listen, and it dawns on me that there are probably a lot of people that it's been a while since they've just sat down and listened to something start to finish.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the way that I've consumed albums is, you know, giving it the full shot start to finish, and then, you know, whether or not you pick a few songs you like from there and go back, but...
I was worried, too, on if people would kind of have the patience today to listen to an album that was, like, intended to be listened to from start to finish with longer intros and, like, transitions that connect. We actually, like, made sure that the transitions between songs were pretty short, so, like, each song kind of rolls into the mm-hmm. next one. So, like, while there is a lot of kind of, like, ambient nonsense between the songs, like, it kind of pushes you to the next song pretty quickly. So but also I would like to say that Andy here, he sang lead on two songs on the record, Slouches and Silver Lines, and that's the first time that he did that. So I would encourage listeners to check that out.
Everything I've heard has worked really well.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Thank you both so much. Congratulations on the new album. And hopefully we can have you in the performance studio one of these days.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Joe Tomchek and Andy Kosanke are two of the members of the Milwaukee band Paper Holland. Their new album is called Galapagos, and they'll play a release show this evening at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. You will find more information at WUWM.com.